Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Lizzie.
And I'm Alex.
And we are the hosts of IMDb is Obsessed. As Ian mentioned last week, we will be dropping the first three episodes of IMDb is Obsessed on this feed. But if you want to keep listening, and we certainly hope that you do, make sure you go subscribe to the IMDb is Obsessed podcast so you can continue listening.
And we'll be back every week with that one movie or show that you need to watch this week.
Oh, you're in trouble now.
What?
Why?
You exist.
There's so much stuff to see, so listen to the podcast that makes it easy to say. IMDb is Obsessed.
Welcome to the very first episode of IMDb is Obsessed. This is the show that tells you the one movie or TV series that we think you should be watching this week. Now, you might be wondering, well, why should I listen to you, Alex? Why should they listen to you?
Because it's our job to watch movies and TV and try to recommend them to you. We get to see a lot of these things a little bit earlier than their general wide release, so we can form opinions and help sift through all of the great things that are coming out each week and tell you that one that is just perfect for you.
And I think we're both very excited about the one that we've chosen for you today.
I did not see this one coming, but I absolutely love it. Jane Campion's The Power of the Dog.
Heck yes. Available on Netflix. You can also go see it in theaters. You can go see it in theaters multiple times, as Alex did.
Hey, one time's not enough for a weird revisionist Western. I had to see it two times. And, you know, I think you know this. I'm a little bit of a glutton for Benedict Cumberbatch's delightfully beady little eyes.
Oh, they're so beady. He's so mean in this.
Yeah, he uses to quite a wonderful effect in this film. It's a creepy performance, and one that we haven't seen from him in a second. And I'm glad that he went there for this.
Yeah. So we are going to talk about the film, the stars, why we think you will love it, why we think it is a major Oscar contender. As far as I'm concerned, it's pretty much top of my list for most of the categories right now.
And the experts would agree.
Yeah, for sure. And we're going to give you a little mini deep dive into the film director Jane Campion's career and why you need to go watch all of her freaky deaky Jane Campion movies, because she is she's my favorite now.
Yes. Yeah, I'm right there with you. After doing a deep dive on her early films, I am a Campion champion.
Oh, boy.
Through and through.
You're going to ride that one through to the end of the episode.
Maybe. We'll see.
We also promise that we will not spoil anything for you in this, which is, I will tell you, it is tricky because this movie takes a third act turn where I was kind of side-eyeing the screen going, this is where we're going. But we will not tell you what happens. And I also would recommend that you do not read too many reviews because I think that they are spoiling quite a bit for you up front.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is one to go in. Not entirely cold, because we're going to warm you up a little bit to Jane Campion and her career and kind of why we think this movie is great. But yeah, without telling you any of the twisted plot details that come out of this really wonderful film.
So before we do get to The Power of the Dog, since it's not exactly a light film, very quickly, Alex, what is the most fun thing that you've seen this week?
All right. Well, my definition of fun this week is going to be a little broad, and I'm going to talk about The Sons of Sam on Netflix. This one, it's a true crime docuseries. I know you love true crime as well, Lizzie.
Yes.
And this one is about the serial killer known as Son of Sam, David Berkowitz. And it goes into this deep dive of whether or not he possibly had accomplices or if he was even guilty of the crimes at all. But it really gets into, over the four episodes, about the nature of conspiracy theories and how this one investigator just really went so deep trying to come to conclusions about these weird and wild connections that he was finding in the case, and trying to, you know, see if David Berkowitz was really behind these murders that happened in New York City in 1976 and 1977. And some of those connections go all the way back to Charles Manson and the Satanic Panic. It's really, really fascinating, just like look at conspiracy theories. And it also has Paul Giamatti doing the voice. Yes. He's doing the voice of the investigator who ties all these things together and wrote the book on it and really tried to get police to believe his story. His name's Maury Terry.
I couldn't figure out who was voicing this. I watched this when it came out probably a couple months ago, because this is also my definition of fun.
Yes.
And I, the whole time I was like, who is that? That's it. I mean, I could have just used IMDb, which I did eventually. But yes, it's Paul Giamatti telling you about serial killers, which is not something I thought I needed, but I did. It is good.
No, he plays a great harried investigator. Yeah. So check out The Sons of Sam, A Descent into Darkness. It's four parts. A great Sunday afternoon watch if you want to go into the world of the macabre.
On Netflix.
Correct.
So my pick is definitely a different direction. There are no serial killers in this yet, as far as I know. I have to give a big shout out to Harlem on Prime Video. I was lucky enough to be able to screen this a bit ahead of time. And man, I blew through all of these episodes so fast. I really loved it. So it's created by Tracy Oliver, who was one of the writers of Girls Trip. It's co-written by Britt Matt as well. It stars Megan Good, Grace Byers, Shaniqua Shunde, and Jerry Johnson. Listen, it's a formula we have seen before. It's four friends in their early 30s in New York City, you know, living their best lives, trying to make their way. Sound familiar?
Well, you've told me about the city and the friends. Is there another word involved? Maybe sex in this city?
Yeah.
Because that's what I'm thinking the formula is, right?
There is sex in this, and it's very funny, but it is very different from Sex and the City, not just because it is an extremely diverse cast and a very diverse picture of New York City, which I really appreciated. But I will say they really are not afraid of tackling some gray area subject matter in this, and they handle it very deftly, and it's just very, very funny. So I highly recommend Harlem. I say all of this with a lot of love for Sex and the City. I will be watching in just like that, but I think that you should maybe watch Harlem first because it was great. All right, so moving on to our pick for this week, what we think you absolutely have to watch, it is The Power of the Dog on Netflix. It's written and directed by Jane Campion, based on the novel of the same name by Thomas Savage.
Yes, it stars Benedict Cumberbatch, as we've talked, as Phil Burbank, Kirsten Dunst as Rose, Jesse Plemons as George Burbank, Phil's brother, and Cody Smit McPhee as Peter.
Oh my God, we love Cody Smit McPhee.
I mean, there's a good reason that I'm seeing a lot of experts put him at the top of the running for Best Supporting Actor this year, and also Kirsten Dunst for Best Supporting Actress. I think both of them have a great chance, and I love them both so much in this role and in everything else.
Yeah, I do too.
It's such a good cast across the board. I mean, Jesse Plemons as well. I've been a huge Landry fan since back in the day. And I love seeing him, you know, grow up and be in so many weird and crazy roles that he has taken on over the years. But this one, this is a more reserved, a quiet role for him, but still so powerful. So much going on under the surface as in this role and really in everybody that's in this film. It's one where you're putting on one face and then everything else is kind of going on behind your eyes.
Yes, that is absolutely true. It is set in Montana around 1925. Phil Burbank, as we said, Benedict Cumberbatch, is a gruff but charismatic rancher who finds himself at odds with his brother's new wife, Rose, which is Kirsten Dunst. And then he develops an unexpected friendship, we'll say, I guess, with her son, Peter. Sure, something. Yeah. It sounds like a fun, cheery Western, right?
Wrong.
So first, right up front, I want to say that when I was seeing ads for this saying like, oh, Jane Campion's take on a Western, I was like, I don't love Westerns. I don't really care. I mean, I love Jane Campion, but that's just not something I'm not sure I want to watch. I think that calling it a Western is quite misleading. It is more akin to a psychological thriller. I've seen some reviews referring to it as a very dark chamber piece. I think that is more accurate as well. It definitely keeps you on the edge of your seat. You're not going to be comfortable watching this movie.
No.
I will say that if you liked There Will Be Blood, but wished that it were just like a little sexier, then maybe The Power of the Dog is for you. Because I was halfway through, I was like, this is like hot.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's in that style of a deconstructionist Western, where it is, you know, taking some of the tropes of Western genre, but really taking it its own direction and trying to change it as much as possible. McCabe and Mrs. Miller, the Robert Altman movie, came to mind for me as well, where it's like in that world of the Western, but really it is digging into the character and the psyche of them and into their relationships. It could take place in a lot of different places, you know, a lot of different locales, time periods and everything, but that it is in the Old West that feeds into this world and the loneliness of it, which is done so perfectly. This kind of, you know, just vast expanses and
very isolating.
This, exactly. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This has some really incredible performances. I think some of the best that you're going to see this year. Obviously, Benedict Cumberbatch crushes it. He always does. For me, it was nice to see him in something that's a bit darker and weirder than we've gotten in recent Cumberbatch performances. It harkens back to like his early ones, like Atonement.
So good in Atonement.
He's amazing.
I love when he plays that more devious character. And you're totally nailing it. Yeah.
Yeah, and he gets that here as well, and so that's a nice Cumberbatch departure from, not that we don't like Doctor Strange, great, but I like seeing him be creepy in his weird chaps.
And he has an interesting way that he speaks when he's doing his American accent. There's something sinister to it, and that's why I think it works really well for Phil Burbank, because there's just something so pronounced and just eerie about everything that he's saying, and I think it helps inform this character so much, and he's just fantastic at that. We're just really unsettling you no matter what he says to you.
Yes, and the other two we've already mentioned, obviously Kirsten Dunst and Jesse Plemons. It's a delight to watch them both. There are some funny sequences in this where they're like very awkward together, and it's cute because you know that obviously they're together.
Trying to get him to dance out in the field. That's such a beautiful
scene.
It's
very sweet. I think the one that we both came away the most blown away by, though, was Cody Smith McPhee. The character that he plays, I feel like this was so easy to mess up or to overdo, and he does not at all. It is so gracefully done. Again, he's very creepy.
Yes. Yeah, he takes some unexpected turns that you're not going to see coming, and just really going deep and dark into this role. I love him. I've loved him since The Road. I really, really hope that he gets the accolades that people are predicting he will.
I think he will. Like, there's no way. This is such a standout performance. Yeah. It's such an amazing movie overall. It's also gorgeous to look at. The cinematography is beautiful. It's done by Ari Wegner, who also did Zola, which I loved.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And it looks like this was her first time working with Jane Campion, so that's pretty cool. I hope they work together again. It's shot in New Zealand to look like Montana. I can't tell you that it looks like Montana. I can tell you that I don't care, and I've never been to Montana. It's beautiful. The movie's beautiful.
It doesn't look like Montana, but
I don't think so.
It doesn't matter. It's she really captures the atmosphere of the frontier, of these old West, and it's these haunting winds that are always blowing through every crack of these old manors that they're living in, that are just, you know, one structure on a plain with nothing else around it. But
yeah, it's crazy.
Beautiful rolling hills of Montana, aka New Zealand. But it does help to tell that story of isolation and, mm-hmm. you know, kind of finding those unlikely bonds like we were talking about with Phil Burbank and Cody Smith McPhee's character, Peter. Because there's no one else out there. There's no one. Like, you kind of cling to the person that you may have some sort of kinship with. And that's how George Burbank and Rose find each other at the end of a cattle drive. They kind of just run into each other and start this unlikely romance, just kind of based out of loneliness. And then, you know, it develops from there and kind of unwinds all of their lives from this partnership. But it's so beautiful and such a fascinating film, and something that I just was not expecting.
Yeah. There's a line that Jesse Plemons says to Kirsten Dunst where he just says, it's so nice to not be alone anymore. And it's a very moving moment. And she actually said that it made her cry off camera when he said that, because it's just, he's so sweet and I love him.
They're my favorite star couple, the two of them. On
They're
film
the
and then also, yeah, behind the scenes, because I love they found each other on Fargo this year. Yes. Because again, another where they're playing a truly weird couple who have a lot going on under the surface as well.
So speaking of Jane Campion, we did promise that we would give you a bit of a deep dive into, I think, one of both of our favorite directors.
She is now. I after seeing this and then doing this deep dive back into her early works, I am sorry that I have not been team Champion Campion since the beginning. She's fantastic. And she's, as you brought up, pretty weird.
She's pretty weird. Yes. Yeah. I shouldn't have been surprised that there's some hot and sexy moments in Power of the Dog. And by the way, I don't mean sex. There is no sex in the Power of the Dog, but there's some steam. Going back to The Piano, which I had not seen for years, that's probably the movie that you're most familiar with from Jane Campion's work. It came out in 1993. She became the second woman ever to be nominated for Best Director for The Piano, and she did actually win Best Original Screenplay for it that year. If you've never seen The Piano, go watch it. It's on Netflix, yes.
So you have no excuse. You can watch both of them.
You can actually watch a lot of her work on Netflix, which is nice. It's got Holly Hunter, Sam Neill, Harvey Keitel is also in it, and then Anna Paquin in her first movie ever, for which she, of course, did win the Oscar. Holly Hunter did as well. After you watch it, I do recommend you go back and listen to the episode of Movies That Changed My Life with Marina Bakarin. She chose this movie, and it's a really great conversation. I believe she highlights one of my favorite moments in it, which is where Holly Hunter is getting off of the boat in the giant hoop skirt in the ocean, and the way that it's shot, it's one of the most incredible sequences I've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm doing this deep dive now on Jane Campion and realizing what a just amazing filmmaker that she is. I saw The Piano, I think, in high school, and I was watching Oscar winners and trying to just educate myself. And I don't think it really like hit me as strongly. But now that I'm kind of going through and seeing all these themes that she works in, I'm really, really blown away. And I watched her first film feature, Sweetie. It's an absolute gem. It's on HBO Max. It's a very, very dark comedy from 1989. It's about a young married couple whose relationship is beginning to fall apart. And then Sweetie, the wife's train wreck of a sister, surprise moves into their home with her space cadet of a boyfriend who is promising to make Sweetie famous as well. And it's just this really, really cracked look at a family that's trying to get up on their feet, trying to, you know, get their lives together. And the character of Sweetie is so amazing. It's by an actress named Genevieve Lemon, who is in a number of Jane Campion's films, including The Power of the Dog. She plays Miss Lewis. It's kind of a small role, but she's the woman who takes care of the Burbank home. Me being a completionist and lover of movie marathons, I watched her follow up the 1990 biopic, An Angel at My Table. It's about a writer who was institutionalized at a young age after being wrongly diagnosed with schizophrenia. It's this epic story of perseverance to create and to, you know, become a writer despite these odds that were placed in front of her. And it's just, yeah, it's another beautiful woman's story only like Jane Campion can tell.
Yeah, truly. She's done some other great biopics as well. Her last feature I think 12 years ago, was Bright Star, which is about John Keats, the final years of his life and the romance he had with Fanny Braun. And it's got Ben Whishaw as John Keats. It's very beautiful. I would say it's like pretty normcore for Jane Campion, which was interesting to watch, but still very, very gorgeous. And then the only other one that I will shout out in her canon is her version of Portrait of a Lady, starring Nicole Kidman with John Malkovich. There's a lot of people in that. Martin Donovan.
Oh, I love him.
It has like the most 90s opening sequence of any movie ever. Go watch it and you will understand what I mean. But it's really an excellent adaptation of that Henry James novel. And I highly recommend it.
Yeah. And I'm so interested in her now because I'm starting to draw these parallels between her different films. And I'm seeing kind of the things that she loves to dig into and reveal and tell her version of. I mean, these remote location shoots, Power of the Dog is full of them. The piano is nothing but, and like kind of the difficulty of getting to these, you know, far out places, and really focusing on the grandeur of nature. She loves weird children and outcasts, especially, as we've talked about Cody Smith McPhee, who's not really a child anymore. He's more of, you know, a young adult, but he still an outcast for sure. Sibling rivalry is a big theme that she loves to dig into, and dysfunctional families. Sweetie is about sisters fighting, and Power of the Dog is about brothers fighting, essentially. Yeah. And she has no squeamishness about revealing this kind of unclean underbelly of what, you know, could be seemingly traditional period pieces, or, you know, these heavy costume dramas.
She does something that you don't get that often with these quote unquote period pieces, which is that she really takes pains to show what everyday life might have looked like, and how uncomfortable it might have been. Like, you know, your boots getting stuck in the mud, like what I mentioned earlier, Holly Hunter trying to get off the boat in a hoop skirt. Like it's stuff that you don't see.
Trying to take a piano up a muddy hill is kind of like the main conflict that's spins out everything in the piano.
Right. It's stuff that you don't necessarily see in sort of these sweeping epics that we get from other period pieces, but that you really need. And I love that about Jane Campion. So this movie is currently top 100 on IMDb Movie Meter, as are all of the stars. They're also top 100 on IMDb Star Meter. We suspect that's just going to keep going up, and well-deserved. I think, you know, people are going to do what we did after watching this, which is they're going to want to start diving into people's careers and what they've done previously. And obviously, that's what IMDb is for.
So the movie came out today on Netflix, and we want to know what you think of it. So go over to its IMDb page and give it a rating. I think we've both given it a rating ourselves. Where do you sit at it, Lizzie?
I'm going to give it a 9. I give this one a 9 out of 10 for sure.
Yeah. I'm in the same camp as well. It's definitely befitting a 9, especially after seeing it a second time. First time, maybe a 7 or an 8.
But I can't believe you saw it twice. And we also would like to know what your favorite period piece is, since that's something that we really enjoyed about this film and about a lot of her films. Go ahead and tweet at IMDb with the hashtag IMDbIsObsessed and let us know what your favorite period piece is. You can also email us at obsessedpodcast@imdb.com. We think that this is a major Oscar contender, as we previously mentioned. I think it is my favorite movie of the year so far.
It's in my top 5 for sure. I need to see a few more to, you know, make the determination.
For sure. So we asked you guys on Twitter what your picks for Best Picture of the year so far are, and we got some very interesting results. So the most mentioned movie that we saw is Ja Bheem. It has about 150,000 ratings on IMDb with a 9.5 out of 10. Yes. So this is definitely one that I would like to check out and learn a bit more about.
Yeah, it's on Prime. Let's watch it with that kind of consideration. Yeah, this sounds incredible.
For sure. A lot of passionate fans. Other big mentions were The Green Knight.
Awesome.
The Power of the Dog got a bunch as well. Tick, Tick, Boom. I agree. I thought that was fantastic. Lots of Dune heads out there to be expected.
Yeah. A one right here as well. Best half a movie I have ever seen.
And then Belfast. I have not seen Belfast yet. I'm very excited for it. We did get the chance to do a really great episode of Ask Each Other Anything with Katrina and Jamie from this movie. So definitely check that out on IMDb if you guys want to hear more about the movie. Alex, I put this one in for you. At Fairwinds 10 says, Godzilla versus Kong. I mean, come on. Was there any other movie released this year even close? I don't know, Alex. Was there?
No, I don't think so. No, when this came out, this was the first like blockbuster that we had after a very long dry spell. And yeah, I was very pumped for Godzilla versus Kong. It was finally seeing something of that magnitude again. And yeah, it'll be up there. I mean, Godzilla fights Kong. What else do you want?
At Lambot said, Zola, while it probably won't get nominated for Best Picture, I think the direction from Janixa Bravo is worthy of a nom. I agree. I loved this. I don't understand why it didn't get more accolades. I was really impressed by this movie.
Yeah, I think it'll be in consideration for the Indie Spirit Awards, which is where it definitely deserves. Yeah, it's fantastic. And yeah, I want to see more from Janixa Bravo. I like her a lot.
I do too. Just the pacing of it was really incredible. Mm-hmm. And then finally, Alex, I threw in one more treat for you. At Andy Udy just says Malignant, period.
That movie deserves everyone's eyeballs as soon as possible.
Alex would not leave me alone for like 4 weeks. He was like, have you watched Malignant yet? Have you watched it? Are you going to watch it? Have you watched it?
And you watched it and?
I loved it. I loved
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
It's great.
You can't really tell anybody anything about it until you see it, because it will just... it will blow your mind. And since we're talking about the best of 2021, it's a great time to check out our IMDb section all about the best of 2021. It's imdb.com/best of. You'll see the top 10 breakout stars of the year, some of our favorite films, mm-hmm. a number of our top lists of the year. And there's also a great IMDb Star Meter Award video with Ben Barnes of Shadow and Bone that we think you'll really enjoy.
So head over to imdb.com/best of and then just keep checking it, because we're going to keep adding best of lists throughout the month. And it's very fun. It's a nice way to wrap up 2021. So definitely check it out. Well, Alex, this was our first official episode. Did we Jane Campion it?
Oh, I think we did. I mean, we set out to champion Campion, and I would say we've championed Campion. So yeah, I think we did it. But really, check out her old films. Check out Sweetie. Check out An Angel at My Table. Check out The Piano. And yeah, of course, watch The Power of the Dog. And I think you'll be as obsessed with Campion as we are.
For sure. And Cody Smith McPhee, who just will haunt your dreams. Also, please give us a rating and a review on whatever service you're listening to this on. We want your feedback. I would like it to be 5 stars, but it doesn't have to be. It could be a 1-star review, and I will consider taking constructive criticism for one time in my life. I can't promise that I'll receive it, but I'll try.
No, we want 5 stars. Don't give me 1.
5 stars.
Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back next week with more IMDb is Obsessed.
Yeah.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.